Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast, bringing you encouragement and challenging believers to spiritual change and growth by applying biblical principles to everyday life. And now your hosts, Sasso Mendez and Ben Arellano.
Welcome, everybody, to the Abundant Life Podcast. I am here with my good friend and brother in the faith, Sasso Mendez.
Hello, hello.
And this is episode number 25, so welcome.
The silver anniversary episode.
Man, it's been a couple of weeks, bro. I've been down with the Rona.
Yeah, the Rona got you, Ben.
It got me, man.
I got sick, too, but I don't think it was the Rona.
No, I don't. It took us down pretty hard, and so
you lost your taste and everything, right?
Yeah, I lost my smell, my taste. And I'll tell you, man, it's a bummer. I went to try one of my a taco spot today that I've been wanting to go to for a long time. I went with my good friend Chuck, and I think it was good.
You still tried it though, right?
I still tried.
Did you limit yourself on the tacos, or did you go for it?
You know what's funny? Now that I've had the COVID, man, I lost my appetite a little bit. It was kind of funny because we walked in and we couldn't decide what we were going to order. And so Chuck and I, we look at each other and we're like, all right, hey, we'll just go round one. You know, we'll get some tacos and we'll figure out what's good. And then we'll go round two and we'll get some more. So we went round one. I picked my tacos. He got his. And I'll tell you what, I got to taco number six because I got six tacos. And, you know, they're little street sized tacos. So they're not huge. And I told him, I go, hey, Chuck, I don't even think I can do round two, bro. And he's like, you know, I don't think I can go round two either.
And then you did an interesting take on that, right? Because you had a tab.
So yeah, it was totally interesting. I'd never been to a taco shop like this. So you go in, you order your tacos, and I pulled out my credit card. I flipped it up on the counter, and the dude's like, "No, bro, you don't pay till you leave." So I think it's just it's a tactic, man. They want to get you coming back. They want you to get round two, you know. Which unfortunately we just couldn't do it, and so you just you cash out at the end.
So pre-Rona, what are you looking at? You looking at six, or are you looking at 12 or 10?
Yeah, eight? Probably 10 to 12, and depending on the size. I mean, they were pretty small, but they did double up the tortillas. They did the corn, and they doubled them up. So, I mean, I would have been able to eat probably maybe like 10.
But you can't taste anything.
No. I can taste. It's weird. I can taste something that's extremely salty or something extremely sweet. But in between, it's like nothing.
But you know it's salty and sweet, but can you taste the sweet?
I can if it's really sweet.
It has to be a chocolate chip cookie or something.
Yeah, you know, something like that, or you know, like even Gatorade. Gatorade's not super sweet, but I can still taste the sweetness. And then salt. You know, I can taste something super salty. I could taste the cheese tonight on the pizza.
Have you had anything back? Have you seen a difference from last week?
No, and I can't smell. It's weird. Like I put the Vicks right up to my nose, and there's nothing. I mean,
wow.
You know,
Vicks cures everything.
Oh man, I was eating onion today, just raw onion, just popping it in like nobody's business, and.
You don't even have to brush your teeth.
Couldn't even smell it.
You're good.
Well, I'm glad my wife lost her smell, because otherwise she wouldn't be kissing me. She don't like she don't like onions.
And then she didn't even care. It didn't even faze her.
Yes.
Wow.
So it's been an interesting 2 weeks, bro. I'll tell you what, man.
Well, you know when you go to In-N-Out, you go or drive past In-N-Out, it smells like onion, so you can't even smell that no more.
No, I can't even smell that. Wow. So yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I hope I get it back soon. I've heard some stories. People that they've lost for, you know, months.
My mother-in-law, 9-10 months.
Yeah, I've heard up to a year. Like, I know my buddy Bob, he's going about a year now since he's had it, and he says he does not have full smell.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you even know when you know what I mean, when you make a stink?
You don't. that's the beauty of it.
You let it rip, and you're like, oh, I don't know if that smells or not. You know what I mean?
I guess it doesn't matter.
I mean, because I came in here sweaty from playing basketball, and you said you didn't even care. Like, you can't even smell me.
No. I told you, I'm about the same way. So, I don't know if you smell me.
I mean, I could smell you, but I mean, you couldn't smell me. I was like, woo.
You smell the onion, bro?
Woo, but you don't even notice. I didn't even know.
Oh, man.
But so, it's been a long time, Ben. I mean, it's been a month, would you say, since we recorded last?
It's been close to a month. I mean, we were trying to get on the two-week schedule, so I think it's about 3 weeks. We're going on a month. I don't think it's quite a month. And it's funny because I was talking to a couple people about getting into this podcast network. And it's so funny because I told them, like, oh, yeah, you know, we're getting on this 2 week schedule. And then, man, and I go down and I'm thinking, oh, man, they're probably thinking we're just like out.
Well, things happen. I mean, happened last Christmas. Remember, we were both out.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought I had it for Christmas last year, but apparently
maybe you did.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't lose smell and taste. We just got sick. And so, but with all the rhetoric and everything going around, everything was COVID back then. So who knows? We thought we had it.
Well, I lost my taste and smell, but I mean, I got a pretty strong, that's why I'm fat, pretty strong sense of taste and smell. So it came back like in a week. Like they could, you know, the Rona couldn't hold it.
They couldn't hold you down.
It wasn't the Delta variant. Maybe the Delta can hold it, but.
Maybe that's what got me. I don't know.
The SARS-19 was no match. You know, my dude like, oh, nope. Record Bobby Popeyes. And I was like, oh, yes, I can taste it. The fried chicken's delicious.
Well, I just hope I get it back by Thanksgiving, man. Because, I mean, you know.
Yeah, that'd be a bummer.
Smoked turkey. I mean, it's, you know, it's going to be good.
Are man. You going to smoke a turkey?
Yeah, I'm going to smoke a turkey. My mom said, you know what? I'm going to get the turkey, but you smoke it. I'm like, all right, cool.
I thought about smoking one.
I'll smoke one for you if you want, man. I can fit it. I can fit like two or three birds
can
in
you?
There. Oh, yeah.
Dr. Watson has a 22-pound turkey he's trying to give away. I should take it, you know.
Wow, wow.
And then smoke it and see what it like, you know. Because it's good eating, too. You know, it's a good protein source.
That's a
pretty
big,
lean. And
that's a big bird, dude.
I'm not sure why she bought a 22-pound turkey.
Where do you buy a 22-pound turkey?
That's bro, I don't know. She's a doctor. Maybe she wrote a script for it, you know. A script for 22-pound turkey.
Turkey was on roids, bro.
I know. Like, it's genetically modified turkey. Has like six legs.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
Swole. We've been working out.
That's crazy.
Yeah, man. But I hadn't seen you in like, what, 2 weeks? Over 2 weeks.
I know. Well, we've been in quarantine. What was weird, though, is I didn't lose my smell and taste right away. It took, I don't know, five, six days because I was sick.
And yeah, I remember.
And I thought, this is just maybe like flu, head cold, maybe a sinus infection. And it was weird because it was on a Friday. I ate breakfast and I could still smell, taste. Everything was good to go. And then for lunch, I had these like frozen burritos, which I know, yeah, I know frozen burritos, right? And it was weird because I was eating it and I was like, man, it just doesn't really taste like much.
I'm which
like,
is normal.
You this know? Is a terrible yeah. burrito. It's a terrible burrito. And then I thought I thought, well, it's
makes
burrito.
Sense.
But then I asked Gene, I go, did you taste something? Like, is there something there? And he's like, yeah, a little bit. And I'm thinking, man, I didn't taste. And so anyway, I thought, man, I wonder. And yeah, so we got tested the next day and sure enough, you know.
And you got what, last Tuesday, the diagnosis came down?
Yeah, it was supposed to be 48 hours results. Nah. No, it was more like, I don't know, 96 hours. 48
business hours.
You know yeah, I think it was 48 business hours. Yeah. So anyway, we got our results, and yeah, we kept Jaden home, so we had our quarantine. And so yeah, it's been 2 weeks, man.
That's crazy. Yeah. I know, because Sunday night you didn't come because you had a headache, and that's kind of where it started, and you got sick, and then last week you got diagnosed. And
dude, the headaches.
And I was sick yesterday, so.
Yeah, yeah, it's been a wild ride. Yeah, so.
So we're back into it.
We're back. We're
to follow back. Up on what we started.
Lord willing. I mean, Lord willing, we keep this. Our you know, our health and stuff. And anyway, it was cool. I had a taco story, so that's great.
Yeah.
Taco Talk.
I like to go to that place sometime.
We're going to have to hit it. I'll tell you what. So I forgot to even say what I got. So I got two asada. I got two al pastor. I got a barbacoa, which I like barbacoa, but just not on tacos. Like sometimes I just, I like maybe like an entree on the side, you know, with some rice and beans or something. But is on a taco, I don't know, it's just kind of dry. You got to put salsa, you got to put the toppings and stuff. It's not real flavorful like asada. And then I got tripas, which...
were they crunchy?
They were crunchy. Ooh. They were good. So for those of you that don't know what tripas are, that's like, is that cow intestine or is that...
I think so. People say it's milk ducks, but I think it's cow intestine.
Cow intestine. So, I mean, it sounds gross. It sounds not good, but it's really
good. But it tastes amazing.
Well, I think it did.
Well, yeah.
That's the thing, man.
Did Charles have one or no?
No, I think he had barbacoa. Mm. But the al pastor, they were pretty good as far as I can tell.
Pineapple on there?
I'm pretty sure. they got to have that on there.
That's
It's part of the recipe, man.
So, oh, that stinks.
But
that's terrible.
So anyway, we're trying this video thing again. So hello there out in probably YouTube land or whatever.
For you five out there, mom.
Yeah. So what ended up happening? So I know we tried to record this last time. And so what ended up happening, I found out this new camera that I bought apparently has kind of like this. It's not a quota. It's like a threshold. And so it stops recording at 29 minutes and 59 seconds. And apparently the reason for that is because in the UK, when they sell these particular cameras, there's a tax if you allow video for over 30 minutes. So there's some certain tax that goes into effect. So what they do is they put this stop, like governor on this on the DSLR, and so that it stops recording at 29 minutes and 59 seconds, which is goofy. So we ended up trying to record last time and ended up stopping. I didn't even notice. I know you noticed it. So we didn't get the whole episode. So that's the whole reason we didn't try to roll.
Can you remove that governor perhaps?
You know what? I've been looking for some hacks and some stuff online. There's some stuff out there, but not for this particular model. My I want to call it a phone. This camera is a very new model, so there's not any hacks for it, unfortunately. But I'm sure at some point there will be. So what we're gonna have to do on this episode is just start and stop the camera, man. So anyway, but hopefully for those of you out there, we maybe will be on YouTube. And as Sasso mentioned, you know, you get to see our radio faces are now video faces. And
sorry about that in advance.
So good stuff. So anyway, man, it's good chatting. Let's get into some content here. Before we jump into the content, just want to quickly mention, please subscribe to the podcast. If you've not done so, you know, go ahead and subscribe. That way you're aware when we drop a new episode. I've been trying to drop the episodes a little bit earlier in the morning. So for those of you that listen, you know, on a drive to work, you guys are able to listen. Also visit us at our website, abundantlife.fm. You get all our show notes, our resources, everything that we put on there are on the show ends up on the website. And that way you guys can have access to those resources. And also follow us on social media. I know we've been a little bit distant on social media lately. It's just, I've been down. Sasso's been busy and sick. And so we've just not been active on there. But yeah, look for us on social media, Instagram and Twitter. And we should be getting some stuff out here for you guys soon. So with that said, it's also kick us off with 1828 Webster. This episode.
All right. 25.
Episode 25. It's boss and employee relationships.
Yeah. I just want to kind of bring it back a little bit before we get into the Webster's that we went over husbands, wives loving your husbands, our honor and respect. And then we went into wives submit, then husbands love. And then we went into children obey your parents. So we're kind of taking that same kind of relationship, submission versus whatever, serve and obey, and kind of the same theme, but with employee relationships with bosses. And, right. Which I think a lot of us, Ben is his own boss, but he still has a partner and people that he reports to in a sense.
Yep.
And I have a direct boss that, we'll get into a little bit later, but the 1820 Webster's Dictionary describes a servant as a, to keep or hold, properly, one that waits, that is stops, holds, attends, or one that is bound. We're not bound in our days. People might think they are, but you're free to go. If you like, you can get another job.
If you're Colin Kaepernick, think you're bound by the NFL?
Yeah, bound by the NFL and the millions they pay you. But yeah, we're not in the NFL. So, you know, 5'5", 205, 5'6", 40. You don't get there. And servant, it says a person, male or female, that attends another for the purpose of performing menial offices for him, or who is employed by another for such offices for other labor and is subject to his command. The word is correlative to master. Servant differs from slave, as a servant subjection to a master is voluntary, the slave's is not. Every slave is a servant, but every servant is not a slave.
Right.
And the key verse that we were kind of in Ephesians 6 with the husband and wife and then children obey your parents. We're looking at verses 5-9. It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bound or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So, Ben, there's a whole lot of information packed in these verses, as it tells us how we are to be as employees in our relationship with our bosses. I think in every tier, there can be resentment to those who are in authority over you. But God put it there for a purpose, for his plan, for his honor, his glory, so that we may know how to act in this relationship. God, of course, knows the future. God knew how bosses would look in 2021. It wasn't very much different. I mean, I'm sure it's a lot different than it was back in the Bible days, but he still knew that there was a relationship there. And the thing about these verses, like the verses that we went over, does not give us an option about obedience. But like the other relationships, it tells we should obey in fear and trembling. And the duty of servants is obedience. I don't get to go into work tomorrow and then dictate my own schedule. I have some flexibility in what I do and what I can do, but there's a certain element that I'm kind of bound by what USAA desires of me and what my general plan is. for instance, last month, I think I took over 400 calls. There was somebody else that took 42 calls.
Oh, wow.
And you wonder, like, what in the world were they doing? So we have we're supposed to anyway, have a plan that we are to obey, like things that I'm supposed to do. I have some things I got to follow up on, and my primary goal is to do what I'm told to do. If I don't, then I may not have a job.
That's right. Yep.
But this is what God requires, obedience. These verses give us the biggest picture of who we really are working for. The verses say, unto Christ, a direct quote, as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And God, thankfully, has given us employment. I know, Ben, you work for yourself. And for me, he's given me a job. And praise God for that. And he's given us a job, and he ultimately is our master. He ultimately is our boss. He ultimately is who I work for. I may report to someone that's my boss here on earth, but ultimately he is the one that that I am to glorify and honor. And if I glorify and honor him, then in most cases I should honor and glorify my earthly boss as well. And I think of the bad bosses I've had over my lifetime. I think of the bad boss that I've been in my own lifetime. And I think of, I'm not going to get into the store or even the company, but I think of a retail experience that I had where I worked for 5.5 long years. And I could say while I worked there, I maybe applied for over 100 different jobs.
Wow.
My days off were spent looking for new jobs. I even wrote a book, How to Get a New Job in 60 Days. Christian book. It didn't work. Maybe I didn't follow it correctly, but it didn't work. And I didn't always have the great bosses there, Ben. And retail is a pretty cutthroat business. Yeah. And I think I had bosses that were good at what they did. Very smart, but not caring about me.
Right.
Not caring about things of God. You know, I had one that was an atheist. And one that was, I mean, I think of the things that he told me in that period of employment. And I was losing hair. I was praying to God every day. God, please take, you know, at times kill my boss. I thought about killing him myself. And God chose not to do it. And God did give me a different boss in a year and a half later, and it was a different kind of struggle. He wasn't mean to me, in a sense, but he did do things that I didn't appreciate. And I think the thing that helped me as a boss, because I was a boss as well, is that I thought how I didn't like being treated that way by my own by my boss, but it showed me that I was that kind of boss to my own employees. Mm. And God convicted me through that experience to say, even in my own life at home, with my bosses, to say, you know, you're that kind of boss at home too, Sasso, and you're kind of mean to your kids sometimes, and you kind of say things that aren't kind, and you speak the truth, but it's not love, and it's not. And God really brought that home in that relationship, and it didn't absolve me of obeying my bosses, and I regret and I had to make right the attitude I had to my bosses, because I was a Christian, and I demanded my rights instead of demanding what God had for me there, and God put me there for a purpose. So that, you know, that's totally my bad on that. All right. So we're going to take a look at our response versus God's response. So how should we respond? Ephesians 6:8-9 says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. This is how God tells us to, how we are to be. And God goes into how bosses are to treat their employees. Malachi 3:5, and I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. From his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. Basically telling you, pay your employees what you have earned, what they have earned in their wages. No deception, no tomfoolery. And I used to do painting, and I did a subcontractor, and my boss would get amnesia of how many hours I worked. Wow. Sometimes, and he would try to cheat me, and you know, we got into it a couple times physically. Altercation, you know, you take a man's money, and you know, things like that happen. I was very young at the time, in the 20s. But he would try to cheat me sometimes. Yeah. And like every day I had to confirm and have him sign like I was a little school kid. Like, these are how many hours I worked. Do you agree with this? Yes, I do. Okay, sign here. And the Bible says, hey, you shouldn't be that way. You shouldn't cheat your...
Right.
You should pay an honest wage for an honest day's worth of work. And then the same thing with employee, you should work an honest day's work for an honest wage.
Yeah.
If you work, if you're paid 8 hours, you should work 8 hours. You shouldn't work 4 hours and then 4 hours on Facebook, whatever. You know how that works.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, sometimes there's some lulls. I get that. But I can multitask. So sometimes I do that type of thing. But you should stay busy. It's been pretty busy lately, so just haven't had that opportunity. But God has something to say about every relationship that we have, and I think it's important that we stress the importance of the boss-employee relationship.
So I'm going to back up just a little bit here, Sasso. We titled this episode, what did we title it? Boss and Employee Relationships. And so, I mean, when you read through these verses in Ephesians, it's talking about, servants and masters. And so, in fact, some translations, they use the term slaves bond servants, depending on which translation you're reading. And it leads kind of to more questions about slavery. I mean, the Bible does speak about slavery and the relationship between slaves and masters. And we tend to think of slavery in light of the way slavery occurred here in the U.S., which is condemned in Scripture, by the way. However, in the Bible times, slavery was not based on skin color, nationality, or it was more based on like your economic status or your social status. Some people sold themselves into slavery because they couldn't pay their debts or provide for their family. And some people just wanted to be provided for by their masters. Slavery in those days, it wasn't pretty in most cases. But in a basic sense, what we're trying to get here is that it was kind of an employee and employee and boss relationship. So what does the scripture require for employees also?
According to Ephesians 6:5, employees are to obey with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling referring to respect for authority. And Ben set me up on this previous one here. I don't know. My brain is foggy, perhaps.
Too it's much, all good, bro.
Too much Vicks and Alka-Seltzer.
Maybe it's the onion breath.
I was like, bye-bye. Bruce Lee kicked to the face.
In and out. Where's In and out?
I'm getting hungry. 2x2? 3x3? By the way, I went to with Brian. He had a 4x4, but he couldn't finish it.
Wow.
Yeah, terrible. Woo. All right, anyway, sorry. We sidetracked.
We digress.
Squirrels, we eat food. So according to Ephesians, what our employees are to obey with fear and trembling? Fear and trembling, referring to respect for authority. 1 Timothy 6:1-2 said, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Now, I know this is a big newsflash to you, but God places us in secular work environments.
Yeah.
Ben works from home, so Diane saved. That's what Ben says. So he kind of has a different, and working from home too. I do have my wife, but we deal with people that are not saved.
Yeah.
Every day, all the time, and I get things that were written to me today, like in an email format, that were not the nicest things, kindest things that people say to you. And I think Ben right now, the biggest thing, because it's so busy at work, is to complain. We have a chat room and people just kind of vent, and like I said before, there was this one girl that she vented like 15 times in a row and nobody responded, because what do you say to that? It's pretty scathing,
right?
And I just side messenger and like, hey, like, you're the only one complaining, like,
cool your jets,
like, just look at, at your brand and how you're perceived. And
yeah,
I mean, the boss is there too. Just be mindful of, you don't want to be that person that's always complaining, right, and whining. Right. But God places us in these secular work environments for a reason and purpose.
Yeah.
The reason and purpose is we're to be a light. We're to be salt in a dark area. Mm-hmm. When the work is tough right now, it's tough, it's busy. He doesn't want us to complain. He wants us to be what we should be. He wants us to do our job. He wants us to work. And I had the privilege to work in a church ministry. 2006 to 2010, I worked for a church. And that was pretty cool. And it's a totally different than a secular work environment. My boss was the pastor, so he wasn't saying foul language to me. we may not have seen eye to eye in all things, but it was a different relationship. He cared about my spiritual growth, he prayed for me, right? We would pray together. Where typical workplaces, you're not praying with your boss daily. That usually doesn't happen. But I had a privilege to work in a church ministry, so I know the difference between working in the ministry and working in a worldly environment. Mm. And they're very, very, very vastly different. And I will say that God puts us in these secular work environments, and we are to be different. We are to treat our boss with respect. And my boss said something to me today that I didn't appreciate, and something that I went over and above and beyond in my job, I thought. And she thought I did too much. And this is one of the first jobs I've ever had where my boss has basically said, like, quit taking so many calls. Like, quit doing things that...
That's wild.
Which I don't understand.
Stop being so productive.
Yeah, don't be productive. Like, slow it down. But I'm to honor my boss, but I feel like I'm to honor my company, too, and the way I work. But... And I was so tempted to put her on blast and side message somebody. Like, can you believe she said that? And I thought, man, we're doing the podcast tonight. I better cool my jets on that. And that's not godly. I'm to be a testimony. Our main goal when we work in the world is to promote our Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
We are ambassadors for the name of Jesus Christ, and we are to walk accordingly. If people don't know you're a Christian at work, then you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
And if they do know you're a Christian at work, then you should act like it. Because they are watching you. They are looking at you for everything and how you respond and what people say to you and just different things. They're looking at you. I work with a gentleman. His name was Steve. I call him Steve-O. And I used to give him a ride home every night when I worked at the hospital. And he took religion in college. And he was kind of had some mental problems, but very smart guy, very strong guy. He would often scream, Rosendo, because I helped him a lot.
Yeah.
And but you know what? I complained about work. I didn't work as hard as I should in that job that I had. I could have rocked it more than I did. And I was an example to him. And I didn't witness to him as I should. I told him about God a handful of times, but I spent almost every night with him, taking him home. Mm. And unfortunately, he took his own life after I had left several years later. And we had kept in touch a little bit here and there. He'd call me when he'd get off of work, like at 2 in the morning, and I wouldn't get the message till the next day. We went out to eat a couple times. And God convicted me about that. And I keep his memorial in my Bible to remind me. Because I took my Bible to work, and this I just put it in there to remind me that my main job is to be a testimony to God, not to worry about my own rights and what I get paid and what I don't get paid. And God really convicted me of that relationship, that testimony that I need to have. And I'm just going to put this out there, Ben. What would your coworkers say about you? I mean, your coworkers know you very well, more than you think they do. They know you pretty well.
You spend more time with your coworkers sometimes than you spend with your spouse.
Sadly, yes.
Yeah.
Now we work at home, but I mean, just when we worked in the general office and we were working a lot of overtime, I mean... Yeah.
Pre-COVID,
I was sick of people. Like I'm sick of seeing this person every day. You know, I'm sure they felt the same way. And what would they say about you? Would they say there's enough to convict you about being a Christian? And if they were, that they knew you were a Christian, would they say you're a good Christian? Or you're one that they want to be a Christian because of your lifestyle? And what would this is important too? What would your bosses say about you? If your bosses could say the top three things and the top bottom three things about you. Would they have a million three bottom things to say and one top thing to say? Well, what would they say about you? What would they say about your work ethic? What would they say about your obedience, your attitude? I can't believe she, you know, what would they say? We all complain, and you know, that's God tells us not to do that. And just as Ben said, we often spend more time with them than we do our own family.
Yeah.
Sadly, because I mean, pretty much you get home a couple hours and you go to bed.
Yeah.
And sleeping is not spending quality time.
Nope.
Just FYI for those out there. If you don't know that, listen to 21, 22, possibly 23, those episodes. Colossians 3:22-25 says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respecter of persons. Mm. Once again, he's talking about respecter of persons. I know God hates partiality in any way, because he created us all equal as men and women that occupy this earth.
Created in the image of God.
That's right. We're all image bearers. There's not more image bearer in me than there's been, and vice versa.
Right.
And God is a rewarder of our labor. Even if we may obtain monetary value or what our wage that we get on this earth, God is a rewarder much more beyond that.
Right.
And I think of just his rewards, things that we cannot buy, the eternal things. I think our work that we do earthly has eternal reward if we do it as unto the Lord.
Mm, yeah.
And when we don't do it as unto the Lord, it just has monetary value and that's it. We get a paycheck and that's it. But if we do it as unto the Lord, that has eternal value. To I believe that God remembers that we worked as unto him and not unto not unto just I want a paycheck or I want to get a raise, but he did it unto him. God is no respecter of persons and requires that all be treated equally and fairly. And this goes to your fellow employees, right? There's fellow employees that you like better than some. I mean, I started in a new team here that I'm still part of, and the guy on there I'd never met before, and I did something wrong in a claim, and he sends me an IM and calls me a blockhead, and I wanted to go over there and hit him in his blockhead, but I did it, and that's his way of joking, right? And he was not my favorite person, and God said, hey, you treat him the same, you know, even if he calls you a blockhead, maybe sometimes you are, and so you roll with it. So we treat all employees, everybody that we meet, even the bosses we don't like. We treat them as God would have us to treat other people. Those first two commandments are key. Our goal is to do well in the workplace. Our goal is to do well in the workplace is not to get praise and accolades. So my main goal is to go to work. Said I want to go to work and do well so I can get a reward or I can get bonus points or I get a pat on the back. But it should be in the spirit of fearing our God. Like, man, I fear God that I'm going to do a good job. If we will work in the spirit of fearing God, then in some cases, or even most cases, you might say, we will get the praise on this earth. But it ought not be our focus and not be the driving factor to make us do things that we should do. God should always be the focus of our lives, which include what we do for work or for a job he has given and provided us with.
And I think that's noticed. I think when you work unto the Lord, I think you have that attitude and that spirit of, you know, I want to do a good job. And it might not be because your boss is so great, but it's because we're doing it unto the Lord.
God is so great, amen.
Right. And so, and I think a lot of times we forget that. I think we get in the weeds and you get run down in a job, and I get it. You work in a secular place, and I know how it is. I mean, you know, you get bombarded with, you know, water cooler talk and, you know, all these political stuff and whatever the conversations are happening in the cubicles and whatever. And then it becomes,
you lose your focus so easy.
Oh yeah. And so then now you're in that complaining attitude mode, and you're like your friend, you know, on Slack, you know, complaining about the boss
going off.
Well, it's like, you know what? Your boss can see that. So it's, you might want to stop. It's like social media almost, you know? So
yeah. Like, hey, you know, it's not cool, a private conversation.
Cool right? Your jets there, buddy.
Easy.
But, and I think Sasso mentioned this earlier, you know, about, you know, obedience. I mean, I think that's key. I mean, you can ask just about any boss. You know, if a boss asks their employee to do something, the expectation is that they're going to comply and do what they are told. After all, that's why the employer is paying the employee. And I get it. Your boss isn't directly putting money in your pocket, but they have been placed above you as an authority. Mm-hmm. And so, and one of the top reasons employees are fired is for insubordination. You know, not listening. I mean, simply refusal to follow directions. And so, and I get it. You know, pastor preached on this on Sunday. You know, we never do something if it's going to, cause sin against God. I mean, we never disobey God for any man. And so as long as we can stay within those means, we should obey our bosses. And I know, Sasso, you mentioned I'm self-employed. I got a bunch of bosses. All my customers are my bosses, you know, so I try to, you know, keep them happy, because if I keep them happy, they continue to be customers. So yeah, we've got quite a few bosses actually. And then I'm accountable also to my business partner. You know, we've been working together since 2012. And so, we've got a pretty good structure going. It's fun having my own business. But I've had to fire contractors, and it's not a fun thing to do. It's not fun to fire people. It's a funny story. I accidentally fired one of our contractors, via email one time. I didn't mean to do it. What I was doing was, sending an email to my business partner telling him that we are going to fire him.
Oh boy.
And I sent it to the contractor. And so that's a mess up. I screwed up. I messed that up. But
how'd he take it?
Well, he understood that he was fired, but he knew, I mean, I didn't fire him for some silly reason. He understood the expectations, from the get-go, and he didn't follow what I asked him to do. And it wasn't just like a one-time offense. It was multiple offenses. He was just not doing what he was supposed to be doing. And so anyhow, I accidentally fired him by email. But But what if, it, you know, like I mentioned, what if an employer is asking you to sin? We don't sin, okay? I mean, Scripture does not condone sin in any scenario. Acts 5:29, but Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. And this is when they were told, don't, you know, they had, I think they just got put in prison. I think they might have been beaten. And they said, no, we're gonna preach the gospel. We're gonna continue to preach the gospel. So there's instances where you don't obey your boss, where you don't obey. And it's
you may have to find a new job sometimes.
You're gonna have to make that decision. And does that mean that you quit on the spot? Well, no, maybe you can make an appeal, maybe you can let them know, you know, what they're asking you to do is wrong. Maybe you tell them what your convictions are. But at some point, like Sasso said, you will have to make a decision. You'll have to make a decision. No, I'm not going to do that. Does that mean I'm going to, you know, lose my job? Could it mean I get fired? Possibly. And has that happened? Absolutely. Just by observation, you know, it seemed to me that many folks will do the bare minimum just to keep a job. There's no sincerity. So when we read the Scripture, it talks about singleness of heart or sincerity. And so I've gone to, you know, fast food joints, you know, and the person at the counter, you know, he or she's taking the order and they could care less. They could care less if they get your order right. They could care less. I mean, there's no, you know,
ownership.
No, none whatsoever. No enthusiasm, nothing. I mean, they don't care if their company makes any money or not. They could care less if you're standing there taking an order, or whatever the case may be. And I think that if you don't have that sincerity of heart, you're not doing this unto the Lord. You're not working unto the Lord or as unto the Lord.
And then what kills me is in the mall when it's like 8:45 and they start the whatever that steel net comes down and it's like half closed already. Like you have to be Indiana Jones to slide under there with your hat to get into the store because they're ready to go home. Right. And they're not working till that 9 o'clock and they just don't want anybody to come in. And honestly, that's a figuratively sometimes of us when we get to that end of the. And it seems to me like when I wait, because I know I have like 5 minutes left in my shift, and I'm like, I don't want to take another call, but I kind of have to. And no doubt I get like a 6-car pileup with severe injuries, and I'm like, ah.
Like 1 minute to go. Yeah.
1 minute to go, and I get a 40-minute phone call. So, but I think that's how we should work. We shouldn't close the net down at 8:45.
Well, you get that at the hardware stores. You're walking down the aisle, and you see the dude in the orange vest, and you're like, never mind. Because
he's out.
He looks at you and he turns around.
Yeah. It's almost 9, buddy. You should have came in at 8 o'clock. Bro, it's not 9 o'clock yet.
So yeah, I wanted to also just kind of tell a quick story about my wife. She's doing this receptionist job and she's taking it really serious. She was really worried about it because of the kind of the industry it's in and whatever. And she didn't know a lot of the terminology and stuff like that. So she was kind of worried about taking the job and doing the job. But she takes it so seriously. And like, sometimes it's funny, we're like eating lunch or we're eating dinner and she's there and she's kind of staring off into space. And I'm like, babe, what are you thinking about? She's like, you know, I don't know if I scheduled that one appointment right. And she's just like, just going through her. I mean, she'll we work in the same room here in the office and she'll be sitting at her desk and I'm like, are you working or what are you doing? And she's just kind of going through her stuff like 3 or 4 times. I mean, double check, triple check, quadruple check. I mean, she's just taking this thing super serious. And I'm like, wow, that's cool. I mean, she's totally like, and that's how you should be. She wants that business to succeed. She really wants to do a good job. She's working unto the Lord. So I'm tooting the horn for her. She impresses me with her work ethic. And I really think that's cool. Titus 2:9 says, bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Having a sincere heart, it's an attitude of willingness to do what's been asked of the employee to the best of their ability.
Amen.
And then the scripture also says in Ephesians, it says, not with eye service as men pleasers. And so this simply means that you should do a good job whether or not your employer is watching. And I remember I used to work at, this is crazy. I used to work at Golden Corral. This is way back in the day, so I can name it. I don't care. And it was crazy. So
I'm not eating there still.
Don't eat there.
You can probably eat there now because you can't taste or smell. But
you can eat there. You can eat there if you eat off the grill. Just don't eat off the bars, you know, the salad bar and the food bars and stuff. Anyway, man, so these guys were nuts, man. They would go and they would be smoking weed in the freezer. And I'm just like, I mean, I'm not going to say I was a saint back then because I wasn't saved, but I wasn't partaking in that. But it was just crazy to me. I mean, you had cooks and you had people that were, and they were going, even a manager. I won't name names, but it's just crazy
to me.
Different state. It's crazy to me, you know? And so now, you know, nowadays, you know, many businesses, they have surveillance cameras, not only for customers, but for employees. And so some companies are requiring employees to keep a webcam on while working from home. I don't know if they're making you do that. Have you heard of that?
No.
Yeah, so keep a webcam on to make sure that you're doing stuff.
Awkward.
Yeah, I mean, I hope you're not in your...
Casones or picking your nose.
Underwear.
Especially when I'm sick. He's blowing his nose 10.6 times an hour. Like, what's wrong with this guy?
So whether, I mean, whether you're being monitored or observed by your employee, you should always be working and doing it to the best of your ability. Why? Because we should be working as if we were working directly for God. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ.
What a reward, Ben. Amen.
And this also implies that we shouldn't be, and I know, Sasso, you've already talked about, so we shouldn't be complaining behind the employer's back.
Oh, no, I love to. We love to do it.
You know, in reading some stats, I found that many employees are fired because of posting complaints on social media about their employer. Now, so I know your coworker is posting on Slack, which it's not necessarily social media, but it's a group chat.
Yeah, people can see it.
But some people post this stuff on social media, and I think it's funny because it's sort of like dumb criminals. You know, it's like, don't you realize that social media is public and you're employer can see everything that you post. So
not smart.
So be smart. I mean, don't complain. I mean, just don't complain.
Just don't complain. Just do right.
Right. Exactly.
Really helps.
Yeah. And so one thing that people like to complain about is what? Their pay. And interestingly enough, Jesus gave us a parable about this. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 1-15, I don't think I'm going to take all of the time to read it, but it basically, the point is that there was one person who was hired at the end of the day as opposed to the beginning of the day. He received the same wage as the guy that was at the beginning of the day. And so the point is, you know what? You made the deal. You made the agreement that you were going to work for such and such amount. Then don't complain about it. It doesn't matter if someone got hired a little bit later and got the same amount as you. Don't complain about it. I mean, that was kind of the point.
Yeah, we all agreed to the wage, right? When we signed the contract to work.
Yeah, you're agreeing to what you're going to get paid. So don't complain about it afterwards. I mean, there's
absolutely,
you know,
it's a free country. So far.
Yeah. And I mean, I realize the parable, it goes deeper than surface level. But the truth is, in the parable itself, I mean, when you're hired, that's what you agree on. You agree on a certain pay. Don't complain. I think that's the biggest problem is we complain.
Oh, man.
And that also means, I know, and Sasso, you alluded to this a little bit earlier as well, we shouldn't waste employers' time. So employees have been hired to do a job. And in those same statistics that I was reading, another reason that employees are getting fired is because they have excessive social media and internet usage. And so this is just a small tip for you out there. Your employer can monitor what you are doing on the internet. And it's perfectly legal. They can monitor everything. They can monitor whatever they want when you're on their network. Okay, so another way to waste your employer's time is taking excessive breaks. And I remember in my past jobs, you know, and I'd see all the smoker clan outside in the patio multiple times a day. I mean, we're supposed to get, I think, a couple 15-minute breaks. And I would see these guys out here, you know, like once an hour. And it's like, wow, bro, like how many breaks is that? You know, and I'm not going to judge, but I would guess that, you know, some of those breaks are probably excessive.
Sounds like it.
You know, so your employer has hired you to do a job. It's simple. Just do your job. Don't waste your employer's time, you know.
That's Coach Belichick, you know. Do your job. From the Patriots, if you guys watch football. And, Ben, there's no shame in being a servant. No. Not at all. We have the ultimate servant in Matthew, found in Matthew 20, verses 26 to 28. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to minister, which means to serve. He did not come to be served, even though he deserved to be, as he was the king of the world. His principal job here was to serve us, to minister unto the people, to be the example. He's the example in all things and always will be in how we should live ourselves. Proverbs 14:23 says, "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of lips tendeth only to penury," just our poorness or just inactiveness. I was talking to a gentleman, and he was talking to me about what job he should do, and he was unemployed at the time, and was giving me all these options. I said, "Well, I think you should just work like pick one and get busy. quit mulling around what you should do or shouldn't do. Just get busy, get to work. Right. And this drives me crazy for my own daughter. So yesterday, I mean, I wasn't feeling well. And, but I mean, I was at home all day cause I didn't go to church and, Rebecca told me to rest and she went to Sunday night church. And I'm like, I know there was white clothes and colored clothes to fold. So I just got busy folding them. I couldn't just sit. I felt like a hobo the whole day. And, and I started to write a little bit. And so I folded all the clothes and, I go in there and for 2 hours, she's just watching TV and she has clothes too that I didn't fold for her. And I'm like, Kate, what? And I folded some of her clothes for her, and she didn't even put those away. And it drives me crazy, but I forget that I was a kid too and sometimes lazy. And the Bible says, hey, in all labor there is profit. Just get busy doing something. Yeah. And we were created to work, to labor, to have purpose.
Yeah.
God gave us all types of jobs to do, but we are to be busy working whatever job he gives us to do. I mean, I started back in the day, 425, washing dishes.
Same here.
And I was like, man, I got 13-cent raise. I was like, 438. You know, I'm like, man, I'm going to what a size my Whataburger.
Bro, I started working nights at Walmart. I got 550, bro.
550?
Bro.
Man. I mean, I worked at the city, and I was making 725 and working with men that were making like 15 bucks, and they were terrible. I mean, I was running circles around them. But, yeah. You know, they were just putting in their time. And but God gave us the ability to work. I mean, to me, what a privilege it is to work. To work is a privilege, and we must be careful not to complain about the job God has given us. And you could say, well, work is not a privilege. You know, it's laborsome. But even in the garden before sin, Adam had a job. I mean, he named the animals. He was busy tending to God's garden. Yeah. He wasn't just in a hammock all day long. God gave him work. So even before the mess up, right? This before sin entered the world,
right?
We were still working, and it's a privilege. It's an honor to work. And I remember all the times complaining about my job until I lost my job. Mm-hmm. And then that was a really bad time in my life because I got up and I like it had no purpose. Like, well, I got to look for a job, but I felt so horrible. Like I cleaned every cabinet. I got so bored at home. And I mean, I was only out of a job for like 3-4 weeks max. And I think God reminded me, like, you complain about your job, but man, remember where you were when you didn't have a job? And it's a privilege to work, to do what God, even if you're retired, right? There's still things you can do. There's still ways you can be blessing. I mean, I'm sure the church will keep you busy. I know a man, Mitch, that still does part-time work and then just volunteers his time at the church. Yeah, and
he's always busy. He's always busy, man.
He's always working.
Yeah. I'm like you. I think I don't remember what year it was. I want to say 2005 or somewhere around there. I ended up getting fired from the job that brought me here to Phoenix. It's actually part of my testimony. I was out for several months, but I remember when I got a new job after being fired. Because in that job, I probably deserved it. I'm pretty sure I deserved it. and I know I complained a lot. But when I got the new job, I remember thinking to myself, man, it feels good to work. Like, it felt so good. I mean, that first check, I was like, dude, this is great. I just want to work. Like, you know, I just felt so good to work. I wasn't even saved yet, but I just knew that felt good to work. So, but I think that thing, like you said, I think that's we're created for that purpose. We're created to work, not just be idle. I mean, then you look at like somebody who was idle in the Bible, David, you know, he's just kind of walking on his, you know, castle or whatever it is on his rooftop up there. You know, he's not out warring with his soldiers, you know, running his government, whatever. And what ends up happening? He ends up falling into sin. And I think idleness brings into your life sin.
Well, he talks about, consider the ant thou sluggard, right?
Right.
And the ant's always working.
Right.
Always working, always busy.
Right.
And that's how you stay healthy.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you get working.
Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat.
That's right.
I mean, it says you don't work, you don't eat.
It takes a lot to maintain 204 pounds, Ben. So I gotta keep working. Down from 207, so we're working a little bit on that as well. But God sets up the structure in our government. But you know, these verses to me also apply to the work structure. Romans 13:1, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, talking about the magistrate. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. And I always think it's funny that my boss will go away for a couple of weeks and she'll come back and she'll just say, hey, I'm really grateful that you guys maintain your work. And I mean, I think it's because we're professionals and we don't necessarily need a boss to watch over us, and I don't work. I work like my boss isn't even there. I mean, I just do my job.
Right.
And I think a lot of people on my team are the same, and not every team is like that. But I also think about, you've worked at jobs if there was no boss, utter chaos, right?
Oh,
like just oh. what the things people did when there was a boss. if you imagine your workplace with no boss, no structure, I mean, it'd be absolute chaos. Just as our world right now is app without boundaries, without structure when it comes to gender and marital relationships. It's a mess. It's just a lot of yeah. things that are going on that aren't well. And God is all about structure. He's all about order. He's a God Amen. Of order.
That's right.
I mean, you can find math in all things that God's Amen. Done. If That's you look, right. if you look at heaven, heaven's measured. It's not just a thing up there. It's measured. He has it measured out.
It's crazy. I seen this Instagram post the other day. It was like an astronomy account or something. And it's showing this spiral galaxy. And it says it was, I think it was like 28 million light years away and moving at a pace of 700 miles an hour away from us. And I'm just thinking, how do you even measure all of that? That's just insane to me. And then not only that, but just it's mind blowing how far that is. I mean, it takes you 28 light. It takes light to travel 28 million light years away. I mean, it just blows my mind. I mean, there's just God is amazing.
Amen. And he's about structure, man. He's about hierarchy, and he's about yep. how we are to be in the workplace, even when it comes to masters.
Yep. Amen. And so, you know, we've been talking about a lot about, you know, the servant or the employer. I'm sorry, the employee. But we did have a verse in Ephesians that talks about masters. It says, masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven and that there is no partiality with him. So Sasa already talked about how God does not condone partiality. But it's interesting because it says stop your threatening. And, you know, and in observing our society today, it seems to me that people that desire to be a boss, they want to be in charge, a manager, somebody with rank, you know, they only want to be in that position of power for the purpose of being served. And so this is contrary to these verses that Sasa just read from Matthew 20. And so as a boss, you should have a servant mentality and a servant's heart. Just because you hold a higher rank and because people have to answer to you, it doesn't give you the right to treat them as if they are of lesser value. It does no good to threaten your employees. If your employees don't want to listen, comply, or follow your direction, or whatever the case, then you can deal with them accordingly, but with respect. And it's funny because our pastor just preached on this yesterday. I mean, you can climb that corporate ladder, but no matter how high you get, you still answer to God.
Amen.
And that's the attitude we must have. We are accountable to God. Whether you're the janitor at Walmart or you're the CEO at Google, you're accountable to God for how you treat your employees. So being a boss basically means that you have greater responsibility. You need to care for your employees. Don't be like me and don't fire your employees via email to find out. Yes. That's being a terrible boss. Don't do that.
And man, Rebecca gave me a good book when I entered in manager candidate school, and it's Servant Leadership. And a lot of it's secular, but it's based upon
biblical principles.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Principles of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And a servant, you know, and that's kind of how I look back at Target, and I was not a good boss to my employees, and God just really worked on my heart. And he told me, like, Sasa, what about their souls? Who cares about they complete a truck in 4 hours or 5 hours? They go to hell and you're successful. Like, that's not success.
Right.
And I started to care about them as people, as persons. And a lot of them are still dear friends, and just made an impact. And they made an impact on me and the servant leadership. And it's amazing how when I cared about them and I loved them beyond what they could do for me, beyond the job, and I just cared about them as individuals. We had like a top ranked store because they worked hard and they realized, like, man, this person cares
because
about me.
Cared.
Because we cared.
Because you cared.
And then they cared. I mean, they cared for me too, and they didn't want to let me down, or they didn't want me to get in trouble. And so they worked. And not all of them were like that, right? There's a couple people that didn't like you, and that's fine. And some you had to fire for whatever reason. But for the bulk of the team, I mean, that servant leadership that God did, I mean, people hated him too. But the big thing, I think, between the employee. So if you're an employee, you should care about your boss's soul. And if you're a boss, you should care about your employer's soul. And that's always goes back to the gospel, right? The gospel of Jesus Christ and all our relationships especially in this boss employee relationship, because it's important that our bosses go to heaven, right? And it's important that our employees know about Jesus Christ as much as possible. Yep. And I'm just going to close, Ben, with a couple of questions. And being a boss basically means you have greater responsibility. So in that question to you is, do you run over your employees to make your numbers look good or to make yourself look good? Do you care for and try to help your employees succeed? And this goes beyond the workplace. Do you care about their eternal security? Do you care about the succession of what's after this life? Would your employees say you're a good boss? Not because you bend the rules or you talk bad about your bigger boss, but because you truly are a servant leader. Would Jesus commend or condemn you on how you treat your employees? If Jesus were standing there, as he is, but if he were in the flesh and you could see him, would he give you the thumbs up, thumbs down on how you treat your employees? Because he is watching even when you think he's not. And in closing, do you speak ill of your boss, right? I'm guilty of that. I struggle with that. Like I told my kids, right? It's better to talk behind someone's back than to their face. But that's just funny. But it's not true, right? We shouldn't talk bad about people.
Yep.
And if you don't talk bad about people, then you'll never have to worry about what you said or didn't say.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you work for the praise of man or do you work for the glory of God? Amen. How is your testimony at work? I had a man in Freedom That Lasts in this past 2 weeks, and he said, pray for my testimony to be right with God and be right at the workplace. Just started a new job, and I praise God for that prayer request, because that should be all of our prayer requests, that we be concerned about our testimony at work. Is God pleased with the labor of your work, of the quality of your work, of the consistency of your work, of the fullness of your work, or do you leave jobs half empty? Are you closing that store at 8:45 when you should be working till 9? What review would God give you in your job performance? How would he rate you? Exceeds expectations or below expectations? What would he say about that? May we bring him honor and glory in all that we do, and may our coworkers be won to Christ because of our work ethic, because of our testimony, and because how we conduct ourselves in the workplace.
Amen. Amen. That was a good episode. If you guys have not subscribed to the podcast, please do so. Check us out on social media, Instagram, Twitter. Please visit us, abundantlife.fm. If you've not checked out Sasso's blog, check it out, stayinthefight.online. He writes daily, every weekday. He puts out a daily devotional. You can sign up for the email so that you can get notified in your email when it drops. I think you've been dropping them pretty early.
4 o'clock, because my dad was in Pennsylvania. That's why I did them at 4. We'll go back to probably 5 or 6 tomorrow.
Yeah. So check that out if you've not checked it out. And thanks for listening, guys. We truly appreciate you guys. Again, sorry that we're a little bit late with the episode, but
Lord willing, 2 weeks, Ben.
Yeah, Lord willing, we'll be back in 2 weeks if we're healthy and God allows it. So
take our vitamin C and zinc.
Hey, man, that's what I need to take. a little bit of sleep.
All right, guys, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, guys.
All right, till next time.
Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to the Abundant Life Podcast. We pray you were blessed by today's episode. Please visit us online at abundantlife.fm. Until next time, may God bless you.